based on what we talked about last week, it's become obvious that we need to have an apprehension of the waters of purification. And specifically, we need to have an apprehension of what the ashes of the red heifer and their efficacy. But before we see what their efficacy is, what they're good for, we have to see that we need them. I can't remember if we read Numbers 19 last week. Did we?
Yes.
We did.
Okay. You know that whenever anyone, if he that toucheth the body of the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. All that come in contact with the one who has touched the dead body is unclean. Every open vessel is unclean. Everything that's in the house where the open vessel is unclean. Hopefully that we've gotten at least a tentative understanding that being unclean isn't sin, it's uncleanness. At the edges of this, and it doesn't require blood, it requires water. You don't know that you have you don't know about the water, you don't know about the need for the water, unless you know that you're unclean. It's a given, right? If you don't think you're unclean, you have no need for the water. So the first thing I would like us to do as a body is to see if we can come to an agreement of what touching a dead body means. What did the law typify? Why was it necessary? Understand? Okay. It's everything that I just said. I mean, we can see the implications of it. If you even walked over the ground where a bone of a dead thing was buried, you were unclean. This is the primary reason that it's a reason for the foot washing ceremony at Passover. It's because where your feet have touched the unclean thing, and the washing of the feet typified these other waters of purification during the Passover ceremonies. But let's just talk about it. What do you think touching a dead body or touching a bone from something that's been buried or being an open vessel and where a dead thing is, or, you know, all of the things that we just talked about. Does anybody have any ideas about what it means? What does it typify?
I think that open vessel means that you're uncovered. Like, you know, if you're in a state of uncoveredness and then you're around death of some sort, it's going to get inside.
Okay.
Touching bones and stuff would be like giving breath to, your grandfather was Secretary of the Treasury, my grandfather's Secretary of the Treasury, therefore I'm somebody, thinking myself to be something because of
death.
Antecedent, some dead person did
or
something.
Or that thing, or just you're opening those doors.
Or I'm a piece of crap because my family's always been poor.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
For some reason, I'm thinking about the stuff we're talking about in morning meeting about the concision, where you're always, you've got some kind of redemptive thing going on within yourself, because then that's like saying that the redemption has something to do with this dead flesh, or that it can be brought about by, you know, by you, by even by some internal action of yours, instead of by Christ.
What we said in the Bible study this morning, as Doug is right, it's very critical of this, and that we are of, it says, don't associate with a concision, and the opposite of the concision is the circumcision. And the concision are the mutilators. But the mutilators are those that internally mutilate themselves through self-consciousness and any other thing, so that there's no apprehension of either the blood or the water, so that every time they go, when you start thinking about yourself, you touch the dead body. It's concision. And it requires, spiritually, it requires the apprehension of the waters. Do you understand that? If we are dead, and then if I go inward and begin to analyze the dead, then I have to, by definition, have touched the dead body. If I go inward and try to have some act of redemption, that's a habit pattern, I've touched the dead body. If I have, that's why, I mean, can you see, if for no other reason, if it was only this issue of the dead and the and being the ashes of the red heifer and the unclean, you can understand why Christ said that you have to abandon yourself. Because the moment you go inward with self-consciousness, self-issue, self-improvement, self-anything, you've touched the dead body. Now, can you imagine, for instance, let's talk about the deal about covering. Can you imagine, for instance, someone coming here, and we invited him as a guest speaker, and we, and his job was to teach us how to be better Christians, you know, some better money. Stewards of money, or yeah. Better this, or better. You understand? I mean, we'd laugh him out of the room. For the most part,
they're doing the pyramid scheme over there. Huh? The guy that was doing the pyramid scheme over there, yeah. The water purifiers or whatever it was, Margaret Ruth.
Oh yeah, but.
You know the deal that happened when we first started meeting, we were up at JW's, you know, and JW was preaching about getting the Holy Spirit, and looking back on it, I had a similar kind of feeling right then, a feeling really
defiled,
weird and defiled, and you know, for all the good intentions and everything, that was... You know, that's what it made me feel like. I mean, I didn't know what it was then. I mean, I felt like I had, you know, done all kinds of weird stuff. You
yeah.
know, and it felt made me feel separate from everybody.
What happened was, is that they tried to pour oil on something that was leavened, spiritually. I mean, that's, and it caused you to go inward and touch the dead body. Now, I know this with everything in me. We have reached a point as a body of people, as a community, as a tribe, in which there will be we can go no further onward and no further growth until we stop playing with the dead. I mean, I know this with everything in me. For 2 or 3 years, we've stayed at the essentially the same number of people. Which is ludicrous. The reason is that God wants us to come to a point where we apprehend these cleansing waters so that we can be free. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You don't know. You remember, I can remember the first time that I talked about abandonment. You're crazy, Ollie. What do you mean? But now we all know that abandonment is the ideal. That's the position we should be in. And we can begin to understand that if we aren't in abandonment, and if we have accepted the cross, if we are crucified, we picked up the cross, and we haven't abandoned ourselves, then we are by definition in need of the ashes of the red heifer. Now, remember, of all of the sacrifices, the communal sacrifices, this is the only one that's a female, and it's the only sacrifice of any of them in which the blood is burned. That's a biggie. And it indicates, we can't do it unless we are ready to resist as to the shedding of blood. In other words, we become the sacrifice. The ashes of the red heifer is the female body. But it can't happen in the Bible studies until Stella does it. You can only take somebody as far as you've gone. Does that communicate with everybody? Can't climb Mount Everest if you're sitting back in Kilimanjaro or somewhere.
Better have a Sherpa.
All right. Okay, can everybody here apprehend that you are living in the state of being of not just touching, but massaging the dead body? And putting makeup on the dead body, and whistling at the dead body, and pumping air into the dead body. And does anybody doubt that?
I just don't see it as clearly in every where I'm doing it, but I believe I am. You know, it's because I can feel a resistance to wanting to look at it.
If I'm seeing the fruit of it. Yeah. If you're in another state other than that joyful abandonment all the time, then somehow or another, you know, there's a connection with that mind.
Okay, well again, before we go into the particulars, you know what I want to do?
He's got that grin on his face.
Another high place background.
No, it's duck soup. I want each of you to make a list of where you're touching a dead body.
Oh yeah, that's duck soup.
Well, compared to a high place in a duck soup. Except the graveyard is in the high place, I forgot. For next week.
Just kidding.
I want it to become meat to you, to become certain. And I want you to search the scriptures and talk to me if it doesn't make sense in this time period. Talk to me and ask questions now if you don't understand. And it's all right to not understand. Because if you're the one that asks the questions, you can be like, Doug, I know I understand this, but just in case somebody else doesn't.
Some of them may have forgotten.
Yeah.
Well, I need some more specifics. You know, I know whenever, you know, we talk about it, you know, like, some things, you know, I don't see the whole of it, like you're talking about, like you're massaging it, you're putting makeup on it, and stuff like that. I don't see that.
It's very simple. It's anything where you are conscious of yourself. You have touched the dead body.
Like reasons to not be in joy.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, I mean,
probably whatever you think you're... your biggest problem is, or you think you have, you know, things going back and forth, and it's big, you know, that's, then you spend all your time, you know,
stuff that's wrong.
Anything where you think that you need something, but where you are the subject, and then you're touching the dead body.
Would this be what we're talking about in Bananas, about ungodly and wicked?
That's good.
Considering God, not only God in the equation, but...
Well, if you do consider God, you consider him way out there, and you got to beg him for something.
Like what you're saying about putting makeup on, it's like, that's on, I kind of equate that with like fantasizing, because you you've put yourself in a place in your mind where you look real good, you know, or you're real, you know.
You're gonna fix something. The problem.
Or you're gonna win an argument in your mind.
Yeah. Why did I feel that?
Yeah, I felt it for you too.
Jeez,
everybody felt it.
That one really took a lot of discernment. No, I mean, it's really important. First, I mean, this is so outlandish. It's so totally against human nature. The idea that any time that you think about yourself, you're touching a dead body. And if you continue to think about yourself in a particular area, you're giving the dead body a massage. Yeah. And if you imagine yourself doing things, you're breathing life into a dead body. And I won't tell you what you're doing if you keep it up. It is what necrophilia is. Making love to a dead body. What?
I said you weren't going to tell us that.
He lied.
I want you to see, first of all, this can't make any sense to anybody in the world unless you know it's finished. The only way that you can know the reason I believe that Solomon said he didn't understand the mystery of the ashes of the red heifer was because Solomon didn't see it was finished. It's the one major thing that you have to apprehend or have to at least acknowledge that it's finished in order for you to see where you are touching, massaging, putting makeup, etc., 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 on the dead body. And when you are defiled by another person that has touched the dead, if you buy into their stuff. So what I'm telling you is, psychotherapy, psychobabble, and landering is communal touching of the dead body. It makes the entire body unclean. And it makes it unclean for 7 days, for the full cycle of time.
You can't redeem the time or anything like that?
Of course you can. But you can redeem the time when you apprehend the finished work.
Well, I always thought, good Lord, we're always unclean if it's like 7 days. By the time
you get to that 7 days, you would have done something else. Yeah,
you've already met again.
But it's like in the parable of what 7 days is, it's like in time, the flesh is always unclean.
But this, I promise you, this is the only way by seeing this, because hopefully you're all hearing it and you've heard it, maybe, but you haven't heard it with this intensity, that you will hear it, and when you hear it, you will see it. And so you can stop this prison, because that's what, I mean, the prison of self, especially now if it's a dead self. Now, I want you to understand now, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? When Paul in Romans 7 said that, remember, he was talking about this, the deal where he was chained face to face to a dead body. Well, that's what it feels like, and that's what you have to know. You have to know that you are dead, and you have to hear what I'm saying and what the scriptures declare before you know the need to apprehend the water. Otherwise, you will spend your life trying to fix it.
Ashes of the red heifer and fixing things don't go together.
No. Am I communicating with anybody?
Yeah, that's what I did this afternoon in your office when I started freaking out.
Let me just ask you, were you aware of yourself?
Not like in the past, no.
He was just a little
bit. He's not doing it now like he used to do it.
Just the two times.
All right.
Maybe you repented faster.
Every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And you can see then why, first of all, nothing can be unclean in Egypt, because everything is unclean in Egypt. The awareness for the priesthood begins in the wilderness. But the ministering of it, I am confident, doesn't begin until a promise.
It's like there's no water in Egypt, there's only blood. I mean, that's only just a little blood on the doorpost, and that's it.
It's like, remember we've talked about leprosy. There's no awareness of leprosy. Leprosy is never mentioned in the scriptures in Egypt. It's mentioned only for the priesthood and only briefly as a type in the wilderness.
Miriam.
And then it's only possible to have leprosy from the border of the promise to the border of the temple, I mean to the wall of the temple. Because there's no leprosy in the temple, and there's no leprosy. I think the same is true for anything of the application of the waters. There can only, you're only aware, there is only a need for them, and therefore they're only seen from the border of the promise to the wall of the temple.
Is there any significance to Moses' leprous hand in the Pharaoh's court?
Well, that's the only type. We don't know if, first of all, we don't know if it's leprous. Second of all, if it was, it's the only example, and then Miriam was the only example in the wilderness. Everything else is, all of the other instances took place in the Promised Land. Can you understand why Jesus never left the Promised Land? Have you ever thought about that?
Well, he went to Egypt.
His ministry.
Oh, about the 5 years in India.
From the time
yeah, right.
Samaria in the Promised Land?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Samaria in the Promised Land.
It's Samaria's Samaria is in the land promised to David. To Abraham, I mean.
Why didn't he?
Huh?
Why didn't he?
Because, I don't know.
Well, he didn't leave the promise.
He
didn't leave the promise.
They just want to know if we'd ever thought about it.
He didn't touch a dead his own dead body, he didn't leave the promise. Touched other people's dead bodies, but that was laying down his life.
You know, that really was laying, we were talking about that after we talked about it last time, that, I mean, it really was laying down your life to go eat with Gentiles, because you knew they were unclean, and you knew that just because you went and ate with them, you were going to have to be unclean for 7 days.
Right.
And I mean, it was and he was constantly laying down his life in that way.
Right. And you had to go through all of the. Remember, this cool. is the biggie is the biggie is. Any contact with Gentiles is considered contact with the dead.
When did that 7 days begin? At the moment he became unclean, when it was pronounced, when he went to the temple?
The priest declared it.
When the priest declared it. I mean, he might hang around 2 weeks, you know, like roam around the country, but it didn't, the uncleanness.
Everything he touched in that 2 weeks was unclean. He spread his uncleanness throughout the land.
Still, people came to crowded my own water petition. They felt desperate.
Unlearned question. I don't even know why I ask it.
well,
I never thought about that.
But the idea of it's when Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." And all of those scriptures about being cast into outer darkness, that's being cast into the Gentile world. That's being cast into the Gentiles. And touching the Gentiles was touching a dead body.
So what was he saying when he went to eat at a Gentile's house?
He didn't eat at a Gentile's house.
He didn't? I thought he ate with publicans and sinners.
They weren't Gentiles.
Did he have contact with Gentiles?
I don't think so.
The Roman centurion came to talk to him.
But anytime he healed anybody, or anytime he raised anybody from the dead, though, he had to go, you know, minister to leper or something like that. He had to go through
the unclean, the clean, the waters of purification.
But he knew that he could. Part of what he was doing there was he was demonstrating that you can go in and out.
I want you to understand something. Do you understand when the Messiah was born into this world, his mother was unclean? Had to go through the rites of purification. That's pretty awesome. Mary was unclean because she gave birth to Jesus. The reason I'm saying these kind of outlandish things to you is so that there's a distinction in you so that you don't feel guilt about being unclean. I don't want you to get guilty about it. No more self-consciousness.
Too late.
Huh? No, it's not.
I know what you're saying, you know, and as you're saying it, I'm sitting here wondering, why? Gotta make it. I mean, why do you have to throw in this other part, you know, on the back of everything else? Why is it necessary?
Why is this not taught anywhere? Have you ever gone to a Christian bookstore and asked, go to the synagogues? I have never, ever, ever found any books. The Talmud, but any books that explain the typology of the waters of purification. It's not taught. Why?
Does it mix? If you don't have an understanding of one part of it, then you'd think you'd have to be cut off from, You would have to be so separate that you couldn't, have a life. I think that's why they don't go into it.
Yeah, because you'd have to, in order to go into it, you have to be at the place where you understand that you are dead. It is finished. You know, I'm sure this is like the Maseroth. One day we're going to find this great book somewhere that's written about the waters of purification. I'll rejoice. I have to send Gary running around trying to find it, but
what you said though about
you do
this and instead of accepting the waters of purification, apprehending that, you feel guilty about the fact that you thought about yourself.
And there's no escape.
And there's no end to it. I really would like to get out of it.
Me too.
It's not a fun place. Because, our whole basic belief is the abandonment of self in all, so the minute you don't abandon yourself, you get into this cycle of...
Okay, I want you to hear this. I should say this. This is something I've been waiting 20 years to say, but it's pretty close to that. I want you to hear this. Before you be his disciple, it says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. The first two are summary commands. The second one is the fruit. I mean, you'll follow him automatically if you do those two things. The abandoning of yourself has to do with the waters. Picking up your cross has to do with the blood.
Yeah.
And the following him has to do with the Spirit. And so those three are the three in earth that agree with the three in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
That's neat.
Agree in earth with deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. That, and when those three are apprehended in one, look out world.
Wow, really? Pick up your cross is what?
Abandon yourself is the water. Pick up your cross is the blood. And follow me is the Holy Spirit. Now,
too much information.
water balloons.
Okay, just stop a minute. Does anybody...
But before you do that, I realized, you know, when Judy was saying that, part of the thing that makes me, you know, that I go through is I believe that I'm the only one that's really needs the waters, or I'm unclean.
Oh,
I don't
see
her, Peter. You know, because when she was saying that, I was thinking, you feel those things too? And so there's something about seeing the broadness of it, you know, of this, you know, that, and the particularness of it that, you know, somehow, you know, I just know that whenever Judy was talking, you know, and my response to me, you do that too, you feel guilty about yourself, you know, and I don't see those things, you know, so.
But can you see the basis for you not seeing that and for that prison isn't the blood, the apprehension of the blood. The basis for your freedom in that area is the water. You may not apprehend that at this moment, and none of you may. But
confess your faults one to another.
There's an interesting tie-in too between what it is, you know, the red heifer being like a body, and what it is to understand.
The closest type that exists on the face of the earth to the application of the waters is the Catholic confessional.
If you've got this heifer that never had a burden laid upon it, and you've got this person who's walking around with a burden, or thinks it's a burden,
you know, it's
and lays it on this heifer that never has had a burden on it. I mean, you cast your burdens on him.
Let's go to. I want you to see this. I want you to apprehend this. Go to. Oh, wait a minute. I think it's 8:30, Mark 8:34, but it's all over the place, but I think that's
now,
not it.
Luke says that you deny yourself daily, and that's kind of fits in. It's like every day you've got to, you know, deal with this uncleanness and see this thing again. Whereas picking up your cross is...
Where is that in Luke?
Well, I was looking at Matthew 16:24, but then it's Luke 9:23.
That's an interesting point, because in when you translate in the Greek, each one of these, it says that in each translation, whether it's in Mark, I remember that. It says daily in it. It's Luke 9 what?
23.
23, is that right?
That's it. Take it across daily.
Okay.
It's like taking a shower every day.
One of the things that happens, we forget. Now, and again, let's see if we can go to basics here a minute. It's time to go to basics. We forget that the sin offering and the trespass offering was made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times daily in the temple. And so that, if we can apprehend that, that would, and you are the temple, if you can apprehend that, then you can see that you're not supposed to ever become something. You're just supposed to confess a lot. You're supposed to repent a lot. Can you see that?
Be a need
a lot. Okay, so now let's look at this. And the waters of purification were hundreds of times a day in the temple. All right. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. All right? Again, let's look at those three issues. Now, there's, in its reference now in 1 John 5. First John 5, verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now that's the only witness that God would have us. Then it says, if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. So we have the three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And in the deny yourself, the water, pick up the cross, the blood, and follow me, the Spirit. We can't be full disciples without the application of all three. Peace. And if I have any discernment whatsoever, if I have any understanding of the will of God, if I have any perception of where he would have us as a body of people, it is now that he would have us apprehend the waters of purification, specifically with regard to touching the dead body. Now, would you please, all of you, between now and next Wednesday, make a list of the places where you touch a dead body, or where you're subject to. Read Numbers 19 just to get that whole touching and whether a vessel is doing what to whom and touching the bones and all that kind of stuff. But okay?
No, I thought number 19 was, is it in the back, the
Numbers 19 part of the chapter? No, all of Numbers 19 is the ashes of the red heifer.
Yeah, it's just the ashes, but I mean the touching stuff. Is that in Numbers 19
too? Yeah, well, that's all part of it. Yeah, it's what the ashes do. I mean, that's how you take care of the touching stuff.
I didn't read part of it.
I'm excited about it, because I remember the last time I taught this, I was excited because I understood it. So I touched the dead body. Now I'm excited because I think you will understand it.
Yeah, I kind of have a feeling about it, you know, not a dread, but of, you know, of freedom, of being able to look at those things, you know, that I'm in denial about, in one sense, rather than denying them, you know.
Amen.
I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I keep thinking that this thing about the water and the blood and the Spirit, and how Satan and his angels transform themselves into angels of light. It's like, it's not possible by will. You can't make yourself into a disciple. It can't be done by will. It can't be done by intellect. It can be done by spirit.
It cannot be done by, I mean, let's face it, the Gospel of John says that it cannot be done by the will of man. You can't even come to the Lord by the will of man.
And there's something about the 666 chasing, trying to get to seven, man trying to get to seven. And it's like this, the water and the blood and the Spirit are the way to get to seven.
The way to get to eight.
Well, yeah, I know, but the minute you get to seven, you're at eight.
Do you think when you said, now you're clean, the word out, do you think that's a water reference? Really, it's a...
Well, not necessarily, because that's not a very good word, because...
Oh, may not be clean?
No, the word means purged. And it's the word, it means like cut, like you're purging the grape, I mean, trimming the grapevine, pruning is what I mean to say. Now you are pruned by the word I've spoken, is what that...
No new doctrine.
When a baby was born, the baby came out with
blood. Baby was clean.
But the baby came out with blood and water, right?
Right.
And then the baby was... Washed. And then
salted.
Salted and then rubbed with oil.
Right.
So it's washing with water. It's the salting, is the touching of the eternal or the application of the eternal. and the, rubbing the oil on them is the spirit.
You got to wash the. You got to. No, that's, you can't understand that. Remember Ezekiel 16.
But it's like new babes in Christ and a new creature and being born again and all this stuff. It all.
Yeah, every one of these. Every one of these words in here.
All tied together.
All tied together, and all bring us to total freedom, but also bring us to total power. Mm-hmm. Which is awesome. I mean, when you stop to think, what can, I mean, this thing about the three in heaven and the three in earth agree in one, I mean.
But that's why it's so important when he said, what I see the Father do is what I do, not.
Not what I, not what I'm going to make of.
Yeah, I don't, watch me use my power.
But you have a little, at least, apprehension of this application of the waters?
Yeah, when you mentioned the three meeting the three, it was the momentary thing of realizing I am my Father is me. I'm subject to nothing in the earth. Right. Only what my Father does. That's it.
You don't have to give this earthen vessel any more breath.
Yeah, the rest of that stuff we were just reading about. He who believeth on the Son hath the witness of himself, and the Father is all.
It's all tied together because the guy that wrote it knew what he was talking about.
King James was some kind of guy. Good
enough for the king is good enough for me. I'm thinking about that thing where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Is he talking about that, the same thing, the idea of the water, or is this another?
Could be. I haven't what really searched that out, but it could be.
You don't say anything capriciously.
Something there.
But there's just, I mean, there's gotta be. I mean, there's a whole type there of being born.
Being born of water and spirit.
Unclean at death. But yeah, not birth. Unclean at birth.
Yeah, but the
water and spirit.
No, the remember that this is great stuff. I can't even see the tabs anymore. I'm going blind. This is Harry's offering, this notebook.
Bullshit.
Was it accepted?
Yeah.
You have to understand that the ordinance of the of what we're studying is carnal. And so what we do by apprehension is we transform it's from its carnality as the type to see what it is spiritually. Understand? The ashes of the red heifer were used whenever anyone came in contact with a dead body. The ordinance is carnal. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? The idea that because the mother is unclean and the child is clean. And then who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Abraham was a clean thing out of Terah, who was unclean. Hezekiah was clean out of Ahaz, who was unclean. Josiah was clean out of Ammon, who was unclean. Mordecai was clean out of Shemaiah, who was unclean. Israel was clean out of idolaters, which was unclean. Christ, who was clean out of unclean, you. New Jerusalem, clean out of unclean, this world. So, what we're studying in Bananas is this interesting idea. We're studying the stars, but the idea, we've been spending a lot of time in Revelation. And we'd expect in Revelation, when John saw the bride, he would expect to see the bride rising up to meet the sun. But he does this incredible thing. he sees the New Jerusalem adorned as a bride coming down. And you want to get your brain hurt, think about that one in this regard.
In some place, I don't know if it's in the Bible or if it's the Melito Asari thing or whatever, in some place Mary is referred to as a ewe lamb.
That's in the Melito.
And the idea that the mother would go through that kind of suffering to bring forth a clean thing is like the mother, this mother, suffering to bring forth. The same thing as the Jerusalem of pretty well.
Remember what the Hasidic teaching in the Zohar, the reason that they believed wherever they were was the center of the universe and the capital of the universe was because the mother which is above and the mother which was the body of met. And at that point, and wherever the mother above meets the mother below, it's the capital of the entire universe.
And the thing that we talked about one night about how when a woman is pregnant, that her body automatically, the child becomes more important than the mother.
Amen.
And whatever the is needed is given, even to the detriment of the mother.
Amen.
You know that pretty well. There's a once in a while, I mean, I know you've experienced it. I was just thinking about how what that part of us that's really the church, you know. When I was looking around, it's like this is unclean, you know. But then there's those times whenever you know, you've had that feeling, but I'm well, you know, God is well pleased, or you know, we're overwhelmed with fellowship, and I just kind of a sense that, you know, that's who the real church is. I mean, that, you know, that God sees the real church, you know, and that's, and, you know, all my focus on this outward thing, and, you know, is like looking at Jerusalem, which is below for a time. But there's this other part that, you know, it's glimpsed, or, and when you're there, there's nothing, it's incomparable.
But you never have to leave there. I mean, you may go out for a time in order to be tested, but you know that you're always anchored at that position.
That to see, you know, to look from, you know, from that place at everything that I, you know, that's going around all the time. You know, I think that's what you're.
Anybody else? I want to talk about something. I want to turn that thing off. Okay, take a big guy.